You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Our leadership does not end when the meeting does. It lingers in the confidence of our team, in the tension in a room, in the permission others feel to speak or to stay silent. That's what we call the echo of your leadership.
Here's the thing. Your inner dialogue might be private, but it is never quiet. It echoes through your decisions, your tone, your presence. Even when you say nothing, your mindset is speaking.
I'm Jonna, and in this episode of Quest to the Core, we're unpacking how your inner narrative shapes our outer vibe, not just in what we say, but in the culture we create, the trust that we build, and the energy that we carry as a leader.
I'm Simone, and we explore how leadership leaves a relational imprint, how people remember how you made them feel. We'll also talk about how to become more intentional about the unseen but very deeply felt parts of how we show up.
Because when leaders become conscious of their echo, they do not just communicate, they cultivate trust, presence, and long-term impact.
Now, this conversation may shift how you think about your leadership from the inside out. So let's start with what people feel, because leadership is not just what you do, but it's actually how others experience you or what others experience around them when you're the leader. What kind of emotional imprint or footprint do we leave behind in a room, in a meeting, in a conversation? That's the relational imprint we're talking about. And that's where the echo begins.
Yeah, I know we talked in our last episode about how thoughts become behaviors, but thoughts also become present. So even when unspoken, our mindset is always communicating, even when we are silent. Leadership is not just what we say, but it's also what we carry into a room.
Last time we talked about the conversations that are happening is really my inner conversation is having a conversation with your inner conversation. And that's really where it's happening. It's those automatic ways that we show up, that we react, that that is driven by that internal narrative. So whether or not we're anxious about something or that we don't think we're good enough about something or that we're calm, no matter what the words are coming out, it's what's going on underneath is what's driving it.
Absolutely. When we encounter someone or even when we walk into a meeting and we haven't said anything, within the first few minutes, potentially even the first few seconds, people around us are already capturing and connecting to those emotions that we internally feel because emotions are contagious. So to your point, right, if you are anxious, that is going to be felt, right? They are going to tune into what is that emotional state beyond the words that you say when you open your mouth.
And I've seen it and I have felt it myself. When someone walks into a room, the energy shifts and they just bring the energy either down or up into a room.
Yeah, energy is such an interesting concept. Even thinking about this topic, I was actually petting my dog when I had this like aha moment, because animals are such good judges of character. And sitting there thinking of like, how do they pick up on that? And it really is the energy of the other person. And we as humans do that, even if we don't realize that we're doing that. I'm sure you've encountered people that you're like, oh, I just really enjoy being around this person.
Yes. And I can't even put my finger on why. There's just this gut feeling that radiates, that even if I don't know where the conversation is going to go or or what needs to be done. Just knowing they're going to be around, it actually makes it more empowering.
Well, and I think recognizing that what's going on internally does have an impact. And I think about if you were to go into a meeting and you just got off a phone call and it was maybe a stressful call, or maybe you got some personal news that kind of rattled you a little bit, and you go walk into this meeting and you don't mention anything about the call, you haven't checked what you're feeling internally, and you go in and you're like, okay, let's get the meeting started. It's going to be a completely different environment for everybody in the room, and probably not as productive as if you would have taken the moment to stop and process, realize what was going on, or maybe even acknowledging to the group, which you're usually pretty good about that, of saying, hey, I need to clear my headspace before we get started.
I do, or else I bring those thoughts and nervousness in with me to that conversation. I know when you and I first met face to face, it was in your job interview, and there was an issue going on for my daughter that was just really unusual for the both of us. There was a potential stalking type of situation. So that was very nerve-wracking. And I actually had to leave our interview to go manage that and then come back in. But I needed to share that. Like, look, I'm dealing with something that I need to step out. And if I hadn't done that, I can't imagine what that impact on you would have been as an interviewee. So I think about just the importance of just being straight about it with yourself. Because I knew for me, it was a new situation I had never dealt with before and needed to take a few minutes just to go manage some things for myself before I could come back in.
Well, and I know in previous podcasts, we've talked about people don't know what they don't know. And if you wouldn't have said anything and you would have just left the room, well, my inner thoughts would have developed this story of lots of options that probably were not positive or empowering. They would probably be very negative. But simply by giving people some information, some indication of what's going on, can really help create a clear understanding of the situation, but then also be able to provide a stepping stone for building that relationship.
As you're talking, that phrase, it's not you, it's me, keeps coming up. And I think this relates. When people are saying, it's not you, it's me, are they really grappling with something with their inner dialogue that they can't articulate right then, but they know that it's going on? And then the other person is saying, that is just a cop-out, rather than just like really diving in and being curious about, okay, well, what's going on over there with you?
That's an interesting connection. I think most of us have experienced that. But if you understand what's going on internally, there's so much noise and so much information about ourselves. And the more awareness that we have about what is going on internally, the better we can process and the better that we can manage, especially those relationships around us.
Well, let's dive in a little bit further about what we're saying shapes how they feel. So what really goes on? So our emotional presence, so how we're feeling, becomes a felt experience for the other person. And what I mean by that is it brings up feelings and creates inner dialogue that really has an impact on what the culture is going to be, whether or not we trust each other, and ultimately how deep that connection between the two people can be. And if you take it a step further, whether or not we agree with it or like it, our inner narratives become those automatic strategies that we do day in and day out. And every single human on the planet has an inner narrative that is not empowering.
That is truth. That is truth. And as much as we want to, you know, navigate and change those inner narratives, which we can and we do, there's still an underlying narrative that is at our base and that's at our core. And that is what we continue to navigate. And it shows up sometimes.
And that's where actually starting with self-awareness is the leader's key, to really be honest with yourself. Okay, what is that inner narrative that I have that's not very empowering? And how does that show up? How does that impact other people? So as a leader, if you're willing to examine that, it gives you access from being just having these automatic reactions as a leader that have a negative impact on other people to really having a true leadership strategy. So I say that creating and examining and identifying what your inner narrative is allows you to then reframe it and create the type of leadership culture that you want. And let's make it real for people.
For I knew you were going to go there.
Well, we have to because we're talking about these theories. They don't have access to the articles that we read or the training that we've had. But for me, for myself, my inner narrative, my inner story that literally every time I act out or I'm a jerk or I say or do things or I'm ruminating over something that when I'm saying I wish I hadn't done that, the underlying story for me is I'm not enough. And how that shows up is I need to be a perfectionist or I need to be in control of something. And so the people around me felt like they were in competition with me or that I was in competition with them or I made them feel less than. All the while, I was the one that felt less than because I didn't feel like I was enough. And so you say that I'm really good about talking about, hey, what's there for me and kind of clearing my head before I get started with things. It's because I did examine this internal narrative and I know the impact of it. And that's not the impact I want. It's not how I want other people to feel. And so in the clearing and the sharing that, I'm actually able to rewrite the narrative I want for that moment.
And that's the important piece, right? Because mm-hmm. it's there. And once we're aware of it, then we're able to navigate and to be more intentional. So I guess this is a part you're looking at me where I'm supposed to share my internal dialogue that is not as empowering.
I'm not going to ask. And if you want to, you're welcome to share.
So after lots of reflection of do I share or do I not share, I think for me, the one inner narrative that is not empowering is that I truly believe that I'm just average. And looking back over life and how that has impacted lots of things, I think part of the control element plays into that as well, because I don't want to be just average. And so everything I do has to be better than average, which is usually why I probably overachieve and think that that is just enough. I know that a lot of times my good is often great, but in my mind, it's just good. And when I was thinking about giving specific examples, there are several that come to mind, could even go back to college. But the one I think that really goes to kind of downplaying accomplishments. I had finished my dissertation, and when you get ready to publish it, you have the option to purchase a bounded copy. And I made the comment to a friend that I wasn't going to do that. I was just going to print it off and put it in a 3-ring binder. And so thankfully, that individual was able to be a sound of reason and talk me into spending the money to purchase the bound copy of the dissertation. Because to me, it was just another paper, right? It was just another checkbox of completing this goal that I had. And so that 3-ring binder with it printed in it was going to be just enough for someone who's average, right? But I think
meanwhile, I printed my thesis. Inside of not being enough, I had it printed. So the bound copy of my thesis from grad school was my proof that I'm enough.
Yeah.
So sorry to interrupt, but that's...
No, that's great. But what I've had to do and recognize, especially over the years, and being a leader, but also in my personal relationships as well, is that because of that inner narrative and having higher expectations for myself, just to get me above average, not to transpose those expectations on other people. So I provide people with grace of, okay, that's great. You're doing a great job. But if it was me in that situation, it wouldn't be enough for me. But being able to recognize that and navigate that, I think is the key to, again, having that self-awareness and understand the impact or the echo of what that inner narrative is having.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but when I ask you for feedback on things, I dig because I know that you do that. I know that you're like, oh, this is good.
Yes, I do know that. But I do feel like I have to acknowledge because, again, I think people are wonderful. People are amazing. People have such great potential and really wanting to highlight that in others. Again, it can obviously have a negative impact as well, just as if you think about your perfectionism could cause someone to really grow a disdain to, well, I'm never going to achieve whatever it is that Simone wants me to. Yeah. And And, you know, for me, it could be that, you know, I tolerate a lot more than other people do that may not necessarily be what I would expect from others.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's my inner narrative. I was talking to your inner narrative by asking you to go a little bit deeper on the feedback because I knew it was there.
There's always opportunity to get better, always, even if it's really good. And again, I think that drives my, I'm just average, right? And so therefore, anything I do, there's always a scale to get better. And looking at others, that people have potential. So there's always scale in order for people to achieve that potential. But I think, you know, that extends to different, you know, inner narratives that people have as well.
And I think for our listeners, they can, how to apply this. You could begin to think about the people in your life and what type of feedback or labels have you given them. Think of a manager. They're a micromanager. They withhold information. They need to control everything. Their bar is too high for me. It's unrealistic expectation. Whatever your assessment of your manager is, just consider that there is an underlying story that's driving that. They have an internal narrative that is driving the result of you feeling that way. So that's what we mean by our inner narratives create a felt experience for another person. So think of those other people in your life that you have a label for. There is an inner narrative that drives that label. And the inner narrative isn't that label. So the inner narrative isn't, oh, I'm a micromanager. That inner label may be that I'm not good enough or that I have to be perfect or I'm not safe in this environment or I'm not allowed to show emotion or I'm not smart. There's a lot of different internal narratives that if they're left unchecked, then it causes us to just fall into automatic behaviors, automatic strategies. When we're talking on the intro, we were introducing, saying we talk about relational imprint. This is that relational imprint because you know that if someone's a micromanager, if someone is all up in your business every day trying to see what you're doing, that's going to impact your trust. If they're not sharing information, you may not feel safe. It's going to impact your psychological safety. That's that relational imprint that our internal narratives can have on other people.
When inner narratives go unexamined, they do not stay contained, and there is a ripple impact outward that can shape how people behave around us.
That behavior from the ripple becomes those unwritten rules. So those ripples creates that culture. It even spills over into what gets rewarded or who gets rewarded or what's avoided. That ripple creates the echo. And it's either going to become a source of clarity for your team or a source of confusion for our team. When we examine our inner narratives and reframe them to be empowering narratives, those automatic strategies can now become leadership strategies. We get to reframe the narrative. That's what I'm doing when I need to clear my head before I do something, to clear out that inner narrative, to create a new narrative for me, which is that's one of my leadership strategies. And so that allows me to create the strategy I want in that particular moment. So all of this to say, we get to shape the culture that other people are going to experience.
That echo of leadership is always at work. It really sets the tone for everybody's story. So the question really is, are we aware of it? And if we are, how are we kind of doing that checks and balances with it? Because our presence becomes the loudest echo in the room as leaders. Mm-hmm. Even without words, people feel whether they've been seen or heard, and even their opinions or thoughts considered.
Yeah, it's all of these, these micro moments that create this situation. So if your leader comes in with a scarcity mindset, we don't have enough money on our team or we got to save money, people may get more urgent about things or fearful. If the leader comes in with a learning mindset, it's going to create or encourage curiosity or encourage experimentation. So you can have the same situation, a limited amount of funds. If you go in with the sky is falling and it's scarce, it creates that urgency and fear. If you go in with a, well, let's see what we can do with it, what can we learn from this? It encourages that curiosity and experimentation.
Yeah, because culture, I mean, we all have the slogans or we all have the mission, the vision of the culture inside of an organization or even a team. But really, culture is built from interaction to interaction, from moment to moment, in ways that people experience one another, especially how they experience the leader, because the leader sets the mood for the group, the leader sets the mindset, and it has those ripple effects based on how the leader is showing up.
Yeah, that article that we read about the only thing that matters is the leadership presence, mm-hmm. really hit on this whole conversation of attunement, which I had not looked at it in that way before, that I think can give our listeners access to some how-tos and what can I do in this to build that, to build myself that way, to build the culture that way. I know that when I'm in leadership conversations with people, they say, well, it feels like a counseling session. Now, I am trained as a counselor, so I really try not to come across as a counselor because I've never worked as a counselor. I'm coming across as me. When I read this article, I felt so heard and validated, and I got educated on a way that I could reframe that for people, because leaders will tell me that, oh, you're good at that because you're a counselor. The truth is all leaders need to build those skills.
Absolutely.
So what I learned in school was the peer helping conversation, to be with another person, that presence. And that's what we're talking about. Being present to another person for their inner narrative, allowing them to really be present to what they're feeling and help them through that conversation. And it starts first with what ours is. How am I coming into that particular room? So we'll post that article on the website. We'll post it on LinkedIn. It's an excellent article.
It's very powerful. One of the things that stuck with me inside there, I think that resonates with the entire topic, right, is that the echo, which usually comes back, right, and that is that the more present we are in a relationship, an encounter, that gives the permission for the other person to fully show up and to be fully mm-hmm. present as well. So it goes back to that emotions being contagious. Mm-hmm. It goes back to if we're being distracted or if we're not fully present, then that other person doesn't feel like they have the right or even the want, the motivation to be mm-hmm. present into that relationship or conversation.
Yeah, great article. Recommend that people go out and read through that. Mm-hmm.
So much of what we talked about, the way our present shapes a room and how our internal narrative influences our culture, comes down to that awareness, right? Do you have the self-awareness of what that inner narrative is and the choice that you make and how intentional you are with it, which is why the core framework continues to anchor our conversations. Because you can't manage echo if you're not curious about what it's fueling or how it's showing up, if you're not open to hearing how it lands and the impact or reflecting what it reveals about yourself, which I know you and I had a long conversation about that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's nice and sometimes it's not pretty, right, of what it mm-hmm. actually reveals. But the willingness to actually embrace a different way of showing up is going to help us make the biggest impact.
The curiosity one, I think, resonates the most for me. And it's the starting point of all of it. If I'm not curious about me first, what shaped my story, and it doesn't matter, you know, what happened. It may have been you, the little kid, raising your hand in the classroom, like we said last time, raising your hand in the classroom and somebody, and you got it wrong. And it's how you felt in that situation that you then built on that narrative. That story, that starting point, really created the narrative that we're going to live into and our behaviors and actions. So if we can bring curiosity to what we're telling ourselves first, then we can really be responsible for how that impacts other people.
I think the openness, right? Because if we are not open to what that is telling us and open to recognize how far back that inner narrative went, right? Mm-hmm. I know when you and I were talking, I even shared a story going, you know, back to childhood and being a competitive gymnast and standing there. And I can vividly see myself thinking that I'm just average and watching everybody else and in awe of how great they were, mm-hmm. and being open to what story that I told myself my entire life to get me to the point that I'm at. And being open to what is it that other people are seeing that's completely different for me and completely different for them, so that we get more of that holistic viewpoint of what's going on.
With reflection, the next letter, it really gives us an opportunity to explore what we discover in between the curiosity and being open to really seeing what's there. That then actually creates a gap for us. We're sitting in the muck and the sort of the nasty smell of what we've seen about ourselves, and we know the type of leader or the type of experience we want people to have. Reflection helps us to recognize that gap and really then create that intention of what's next.
Well, and lastly, the embrace, and that is the choice. The choice of what we do with that inner narrative, how we choose to be intentional with the information that we've gathered during this core quest reflection of our inner narrative, but really being intentional about understanding what that ripple impact is of the echo, and hopefully understanding what it is that you want to leave with them and making sure that what you're doing is aligning with that in the end to create that lasting impact.
And that lasting impact is where the trust shows up. It's where the psychological safety shows up. And when you've got those, empowerment is right there. And when people feel empowered, they're going to perform. So this brings us to the end of our time. We want to leave you with a reflection question. So what is one small intentional shift I can make this week to lead with a more positive echo? So Jonna, what's our next episode going to be about?
Our next episode, trust is felt before it is given. Ooh. We are going to explore trust not as a promise, but as a presence. Because before trust can be given, it is sensed. And this is going to be a great dialogue and discussion to really distinguish or change or challenge people's thought process behind before trust is, you know, earned, because we don't necessarily earn trust. It is actually given. So we have to create that space. We have to choose the words, and we have to choose the way that we show up so that trust is given to us. But don't forget to access our resources on our website, www.questtothecore.com, and that's with the number 2. And if you missed our announcement about discussion guides, you can access those on our website along with all of our other resources that are out there. But we are supplying those discussion guides that you can use with your group or your team, similar to a book club, but they're tailored to the content for our episodes.
And for the next several episodes, we'll put them on LinkedIn as well, too. So you can follow us on LinkedIn and download the discussion guides from there if you're a LinkedIn user. So we cannot end our session without giving a very, very special thanks to our theme song author and composer, Cliff Goldmacher, our Grammy-recognized hit songwriter who provided our theme song for us, which provides so much to the experience that I get when I re-listen to the episodes. Hopefully other people get that experience as well. You can reference his information on our website and the other services that he provides.
So until next time, lead with presence, lead with intention, and let the echo be one of growth.